You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Ow! What big eyes you have, the kind of eyes that drive horse mad. So just to see that you don't get chased, I think I ought to walk with you far away. What full lips you have, they're sure to lure someone bad. So until you get to grandma's place, I think you ought
What a great song, and what a great song for this time of year. Fall has finally set, and let me tell you something. Weather today, clean, cool, crisp, and clear. High in the low 60s. I am in a particularly good mood tonight coming into the studio. I've been waiting on this since February for good weather to return. Nice, cold, dark weather. Welcome to TPC. I'm James Edwards, Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, October the 12th. I was taking a walk with my daughter around the neighborhood last night, and I was just reveling in this nice, cool fall air. And I was telling her, you know, as we came from Northern Europe, you know, our people have only been here for about 200 years. I mean, if you were first one off the boat, you were here 400 years ago. But most of us were probably here about 200 years ago. And you know, that's not nearly long enough to acclimate yourself to this merciless climate. I mean, for thousands of years, our people came from the frigid isles, the windswept isles of North Western Europe. And it's because of that, of course, that we became who we are. The weather and the climate affected our brains. It affected our necessity to become industrious and clever and learn how to live with short growing seasons. And, you know, we didn't get to live like the layabouts where you had food falling from trees into your lap year round, and we had to do something. And, you know, our development was largely shaped because of that. Well, anyway, because of all of that and more, I love this time of year. And that is a good song to kick this off tonight. Great show coming your way. Let me just tell you what's going on. It's going to be quintessential TPC for the first 2 hours tonight. Just yours truly and Keith Alexander for the first 2 hours breaking down news. We're going to salute a hero truly worthy of his own holiday. We're going to celebrate the legacy of Christopher Columbus. Columbus Day is on Monday, don't forget. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be, as I mentioned, offering our unique commentary on any number of interesting headlines. In the third hour, we're putting our featured guest tonight in the third hour. She's Dr. Virginia Abernathy. Dr. Abernathy is returning to the show to inform our audience about the current state of mass migration to America. So James and Keith for 2 hours, Dr. Abernathy in the third. Lots of news, a salute to Columbus. But first, Keith, let's go back to how we started the song. I think people know that Memphis is home to Elvis Presley, to Jerry Lee Lewis. But there was one other legendary musician in that triumvirate, Sam the Sham.
Right. Sam the Sham's two big hits, Woolly Bully and Little Red Riding Hood, were recorded right here in Memphis, Tennessee at the successor to Sun Records, the Phillips Recording Studio, Phillips Recording Service Studio on Madison Avenue. In fact, Woolly Bully was the only, I think, number one song that that particular studio turned out. Knox Phillips had taken over for his father, Sam Phillips, basically by then. But Sam the Sham, who was a big hit with the surfers out on the West Coast with Woolly Bully and whatnot, actually recorded his music here in Memphis, and he still lives in Memphis.
That's right.
He is a Church of Christ preacher here in Memphis, and he's really a cool, laid-back guy. If you ever met him, I've met him. I remember talking to him at the Ramada Inn back in the 60s when he was performing there on Lamar Avenue, and he was telling me about some other songs that he had done. For example, the Haunted House song that is one that we're going to be playing, he actually wrote that song, and he says it was taken from him by a guy named Ray Harris, who had been a rockabilly star at Sun Records and then worked at High Records before Al Green and all those people took the thing over.
Well, there is some, as we do this opening banner to start the show, there is some dispute as to why he was called Sam the Sham. Now, I've heard two different versions of it. One is that he was featured in some of those early songs playing an organ or a keyboard, and that he couldn't play the keyboard. Another was he was a sham because he actually couldn't sing. So which one is it?
I think number one is what I'd heard is the kosher definition of why he's Sam the Sham. Also, I liked what you were saying about, you know, our origins. But really, most of us were here before 200 years ago. We were. If you're part of the founding stock of America, you're here when the nation started, and that would be earlier than 1819.
Yeah, I get it. You're right, I guess. It would be a little more than 200 years ago now. I mean, again, not everybody came in that first wave with the pilgrims, and certainly most people didn't come in the last
people
few
in
years.
The founding stock tended to be the Scots-Irish that came over from 1740 until the Revolution, and they were brought over specifically to provide a buffer between Indian territory and the civilized coastal areas. But I'm Scots-Irish, and my ancestors came here in 1625. So, you know, that's one thing I can thank Ancestry.com for. I was through my son, he told me all this stuff, and I tracked back all of my relatives and whatnot.
Well,
it was really interesting.
We could trace ours back to the early 1700s. So, yeah, I guess you're right. 200 to 300 years ago would be the bulk. And anyway, one more thing about Sam the Sham. A little bit of trivial knowledge before we get into things much more serious. Like that salute to Christopher Columbus. We have got, Keith and I had dinner right before the show tonight, and we have got just a variety of headlines that we've collected that have been piling up on the news desk. I think tonight's show is going to have something for everybody. Real high energy. We love this time of year. And we love the weather, and it's just put us in a particularly good mood, as I just mentioned. But Sam the Sham, for people who don't know, back when they were in their heyday in the 60s, as you mentioned, they had to get from gig to gig. What did they travel in, Keith?
Traveled in a hearse?
That's right. That is absolutely right. The band traveled in a hearse.
Yeah, a lot of bands did. You could get a hearse cheap, and it had a lot of room where you could store a lot of drum sets and other, amplifiers, things like that. So a lot of these little garage bands and a step up from garage bands like Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, his group, the Pharaohs, they used to be at all these nightclubs around here. They would drive around in a hearse. You know, that was not unusual at all back in the 60s.
There is actually one more reason above and beyond Monkey Shines that I decided to open tonight's show with Sam the Sham and that particular song. I mean, it is a Halloween-y type of song. I mean, I think that kind of goes in with the season win right now. But there is another more important point that I'll bring up at the top of the next segment. And then that'll lead us into our salute of Columbus and then the rest of the show to follow. But so stay tuned for that. It's coming up next, and we'll see if you agree with me and if Keith agrees with me about the point I'm about to make about this song. And it does have it does tie into our cultural heritage. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood.
Right here.
Sure are looking good.
The next cut of this is
you're
the next
everything
segment.
A big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should.
So anyway, here's the point on these European fairy tales. The point is this. Back then, you had these fairy tales like Little Red Riding Hood. You had Hansel and Gretel. You had the Pied Piper.
Brothers Grimm. Grimm Brothers fairy tales.
The Pied Piper. And what happens to the kids in all of these fairy tales? They get eaten. Or at the very least, they get killed.
Or they have a very dicey and very tenuous escape from the jaws of evil.
So here's the point. Back then, our people told fairy tales that were cautionary tales that instilled a very healthy sense of fear or respect for a stranger or the other. Now we have fairy tales where everybody's equal. Diversity is our greatest strength. Degeneracy is just as good, if not greater, than normal Christian culture. And so back then, you had fairy tales that were a little bit scary, but they kept society healthy. Now you have these feel-good fairy tales that actually put our kids
children
and
into the hands of predators.
And yeah, puts everybody in harm's danger. Anyway, that was the great master point about how fairy tales have evolved to where we are now. Anyway, Christopher Columbus. Keith, of course, Monday is Columbus Day, and Columbus is a hero. I mean, I guess we take that for granted, or at least this listening audience would take that for granted, but Christopher Columbus, you know, if he hadn't have found the New World, hadn't been the first, as we've put it on the website all these years, the first European explorer who came to this continent, to this hemisphere, and made the European presence permanent, somebody would have done it eventually. But you could say that about anything and everything. He was the one who did it. He is a legend, a hero, and he deserves his own holiday. And Keith, tell him why in greater detail.
Well, the real importance of Columbus is that he brought white people, the advent of the white race, to the Western Hemisphere, to the great benefit of the Western Hemisphere and all the rest of the world. He gave our ancestors, particularly English ancestors, you know, the Anglosphere is something that has become an important topic now. The Anglosphere would be all of the former English colonies, Canada, the United States, a lot of the Caribbean, Australia, New Zealand, the former Rhodesia in Africa, the former South Africa, or the, you know, right, the apartheid South Africa in South Africa. Well, that basically spread the benefits of modernity to the entire globe, the entire planet. People everywhere, even in the poorest countries, have cell phones nowadays because of a direct legacy of the behavior of the explorations of Christopher Columbus.
Now, when I look at my cell phone, it has October 14th. It does say Columbus Day, but that second, actually the first thing it mentions is Indigenous Peoples Day, which is a brand new, totally made up thing that just caught wind a couple of years ago.
And if there had just been Indigenous People Day, then we would all be stuck in the new Stone Age over here in the Western Hemisphere and in Africa and elsewhere. The only way that we have the progress that we associate with the modern world is because of the advent of Europeans and spreading their culture and their inventiveness and their energy to the rest of the planet.
I have said before, and I've actually said it recently on this show within the last month, I think, that the most interesting period in all of history to me is that period between about 1475 and 1525. I mean, think of all of the unbelievable changes that happened during the early onset of the Age of Exploration. And think of all of the historical figures that were alive simultaneously at the same time. I mean, you had Martin Luther, Christopher Columbus, the Borgia Pope, Ferdinand and Isabella, who, of course, were celebrating a certain event.
The Reconquista, as it is called.
An event, and that's what really led to the commissioning of the Columbus voyage with the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria. But you had also King Henry VIII. I mean, you had all of these people, Cortez, Montezuma. I mean, all that happened with the Aztecs was in, you know, the 1519.
Well, think about this. What would have happened if in the past 700 years there had been no white race? There would have been no progress. There would have been no Renaissance, no Industrial Revolution, none of that.
Well, hang on,
you
used the word progress. Now, I saw, and we're going to talk about this later when we get back on to current events, but I saw a CNN debate featuring the Democratic presidential candidates, and it was an LGBTQ plus, whatever they call themselves now, forum. Every question was related to that, you know, topic, if you will, and I saw little girls, I mean, I'm talking about little girls, 8 years old, 10 years old, wearing suits, dressed as boys, pretending to be trans, whatever. Now, they say that's progress.
Well,
what's progress?
Well, that's not progress. That is liberalism.
Is that child abuse?
I believe so. Yeah. What's happening is that we are regressing. We are degrading. We're not progressing. We're regressing to behavior that, you know, is not ennobling, is not advancing the human race. But on the other hand, what Columbus did, despite the fact that there were some, you know, cruelties involved with it, it basically increased and improved and civilized the world and led us to the technological and medical achievements that are the hallmarks of modernity. Now, what we're doing now is we've reached a new level of decadence, in my opinion, based upon the triumph of liberalism over the past 70 years.
And that will not stand, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell you that this craziness that we find ourselves living through right now, the pendulum will shift. This will not sustain itself, so don't worry about it. But with regard to Columbus, Christopher Columbus changed the world. And
for the better.
I was just about to say, he changed the world for the better. Contrary to what you'll see on TV on Monday and on Oprah on Monday, Columbus changed the world for everyone for the better, by the way. I can guarantee you Oprah is living better today because of Christopher Columbus in part. Now, one more thing I'll say about Columbus. Well, I could say a lot more. And we'll probably do a little more on Columbus in the very next segment before we transition into current events and top headlines and offer our commentary on that. But Columbus truly embodied everything that ever made Western man so great. That zeal to sail beyond the known horizon, to explore, to discover, to conquer, to scale the highest summit, to risk your life, to risk everything. Because that is something that burns within our people, that need, that desire to go forward, to go to the stars. We would have probably colonized another planet.
And then just think about Indigenous Peoples Day. What would the Indigenous people be like had it not been for the advent of men like Columbus and the Europeans?
Well, you've seen the North Sentinelese, right, on that island out there where they killed that missionary not too long ago. You've seen some of these uncontacted tribes in the Amazon. I think we have a pretty good idea of what it would have looked like.
Well, Thomas Hobbes, a famous English philosopher, said it best, life would be nasty, brutish, and short. That's exactly what life was like in the Western Hemisphere before the coming of Columbus and European civilization.
All right, we're going to do one more segment honoring, saluting a true hero of mankind, Don Colombo, Christopher Columbus of Genoa. We will be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Saddle Ridge Fire in Los Angeles has charred more than 7,500 acres, and authorities say it is 19% contained.
We had some flare-ups, but nothing very significant.
LA City Fire Captain Brandon Silverman talking about the work since the winds have now died down and moisture is now back in the air. He says, while weather conditions have changed, the rest has not.
These crews are working in some steep terrain, so it is very difficult work.
One person has died from a heart attack, a man in his upper 50s who was fighting the fire with a garden hose. Also, the Sandalwood Fire, which is about 90 miles to the east, a person died when a wildfire tore through a mobile home park. Dozens of homes have been destroyed. Thousands of LA area residents remain evacuated. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan has resigned. He said he wanted to spend more time with his family. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall Pack. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall Pack. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
The Pentagon has announced 2,000 more troops will be sent to Saudi Arabia, USA's John Clemens reports.
The deployment includes two fighter squadrons, two batteries of Patriot missiles, a terminal high-altitude area defense system, and an Air Force headquarters unit. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Mark Miley, explained the purpose of the deployment to Saudi Arabia.
This deployment of additional forces to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is for the purpose of defense of our interests and assets in the region, and also to reestablish deterrence with respect to Iran in the wake of an attack on Saudi Arabia.
With USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
As congressional investigators were listening to a former ambassador explain how the president and his attorney came to remove her from Ukraine, the president held a political rally in Louisiana.
You are going to fire your Democrat governor who's done a lousy job.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
my sheet suit on. Till I'm sure that you've been shown that I can be trusted walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood, I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't. Oh, what a big heart I have, the better to love you with. Little Red Riding Hood, even bad wolves can be good. I'll try to keep satisfied just to walk close by your side. Maybe you'll see things my way before we get to Grandma's place. Little Red Riding Hood.
I always associate that song with October and Halloween. And by the way, since we're in that time of the season, as the zombies once put it, pun intended, I go out and do some family activities. I put some pictures up on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, just yesterday on Friday. We went out. I mentioned this last week. Great show last week, by the way, with Kevin McDonald for 2 hours. A little bit different agenda. You know, we had a little bit different flow to last week's show with the deep dive with Kevin. But I mentioned it last week that we took our kids out, my wife and I, and we did some pumpkin picking, we did some apple picking, and we did some cotton picking. And I put some pictures up yesterday of the kids. At
I wonder where all that cotton came from that I saw out by
that's right.
Outside your house.
They were out there doing it. So anyway, if you want to look at those pictures, we are family men first here at TPC. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Anyway, back to Christopher Columbus. Just got a message in from our listener, dear listener in Washington, D.C., who wrote during the commercial break, James, what you and Keith are saying is powerful. Columbus was a great European Catholic explorer. And that's something that also shouldn't be neglected or overlooked, is that
the Christian faith was given to the rest of the world through people like Christopher Columbus, much to the great advantage of the people, the indigenous people that we're so-called celebrating now, primary beneficiaries.
Well, let's
of Christopher Columbus and men like him.
Let's talk about that. So in recent years, whiny liberals have done their best to demonize Columbus and white people in general. They cite the early slave trade, forgetting, of course, that slavery had existed for thousands of years and that Europeans were the ones who outlawed it, benefiting every land under European control. But with regard to what we're talking about, liberals in the media give no credit to the Spanish for bringing Christianity to the New World. Every place Christians went, they stopped human sacrifices. They stopped cannibalism and other brutal practices of the natives.
Apparently, eventually stopped slavery.
Apparently, liberals consider this a negative. The self-righteous liberals only seem to value things like gay sex and smoking pot. Saving someone's soul apparently doesn't count as the most important accomplishment that could ever be done. That could ever be done, and that's what they did. So, for that and many other reasons, Columbus, the Spaniards, the conquistadors, yes, I know some of them came and got a little gold, but overall, it was a net positive for everyone. Columbus deserves to be remembered and honored for being the greatest explorer of all time and for beginning the European settlement of America that led to the creation of the United States. Important new crops like corn and potatoes were soon brought back to Europe. Christianity was introduced to the Indians. Human sacrifice was abolished. Present-day Indians, by the way, enjoy their own autonomy here within the United States. They wouldn't have given that to one another. A modern society, many of the tribes have grown rich off of casinos. Columbus deserves to have a holiday in his honor.
Well, think about this, too. Not only did the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere benefit from the introduction of European civilization, Europe also benefited greatly. For example, think of Australia and North America. They basically scoured out the bottom of the jails in Australia. They got people that were going to be executed and sent them to Australia. What did this scum of the earth do? They turned Australia and the United States into garden spots. That shows you that the very least people in European society were, quite frankly, extremely talented, extremely capacity, you know, had great capacities, had great intelligence, and they have made the places where they were planted garden spots that attract refugees and immigrants from all over the globe to those lands. And it's because of the talents of the European people that were able to blossom, because people like Christopher Columbus had the courage and the fearlessness to go and colonize other places in the world.
Well, here is something that's actually a little serendipitous, and this was about to escape me, so I'm going to thank our listener Jim for bringing this to our attention. Jim just sent in an email and said that today is the traditional Columbus Day, and of course he's right. October 12th was the day that Columbus Day was, you know, traditionally been celebrated, but because of bank holidays and everything else, they now put it on the Monday nearest October 12th. Well,
because federal governmental employees always want an additional holiday. They would not ever allow a holiday to land on a weekend. These has to be the last Friday or the first Monday after the actual holiday.
And not only do they want a holiday, they're not even going to allow it to come midweek. They're going to get that long weekend, by God.
They may rename the holiday, but they sure as heck aren't going to give up the holiday, that's for sure.
Well, in any event, so it is actually, we're lucky that we're on the air. Columbus was inspired by God, and he made big points about that, of course, throughout his life. And but, of course, now to be a Christian is
a case for apology.
Right. If you are a true Christian, now you can be these kind of people that are in charge of the churches now, and that's okay. But yes, October 12th is the traditional Columbus Day, so we're lucky it falls on a Saturday because we get to celebrate it live in
on our show. That's on right. The appropriate day.
That's absolutely right. So thank you, Jim, for that. And so you can celebrate it now if you'd like, ladies and gentlemen, with us. But certainly.
But we certainly
say celebrate it with your kids. Celebrate. How do you celebrate? Celebrate it by remembering it. Tell your kids a story about the greatness of Columbus. What, you know, and I have said this before, watch the movie 1492. That was a Ridley Scott movie. It came out on the 500th anniversary of Columbus in 1992. It stars Gerard Depardieu, the French actor, as Columbus, and Sigourney Weaver plays Queen Isabella. But it is a very pro-Columbus movie, especially for a big-budget Hollywood movie, just goes to show how much Hollywood's changed even since the early 90s. But watch that on Monday.
Now, what human being can you think of besides Jesus Christ who is more worthy of a national holiday than Christopher Columbus? Is he more worthy than Martin Luther King? Any type of level-headed assessment of both men would say that Christopher Columbus is a much more worthy person to be celebrated than Martin Luther King.
Well, the fact of the matter is, and I don't want to sully an hour honoring Columbus by bringing in and invoking the name of the likes of Martin Luther King, but if Martin Luther King had not been martyred, he would have grown to be come nothing more than another Jesse Jackson or now Sharpton. He would have been known as just another Jackson
Hustler.
And Sharpton. Right. I mean, that would have been his legacy had he not been killed. And I regret the fact that he was murdered. And I wish that hadn't happened. But yes, I mean, that's how he would have gone down. And I mean, of course, what was going on there was not what happened in that era. Had nothing to do with him. I mean, he got behind the whole media and the whole government and the whole judicial system was behind that movement. King was just
To find somebody to tag it onto. They had to have someone that could celebrate this triumph of liberalism. And Martin Luther King was chosen, despite the fact that he had enormous feet of clay.
Now, Columbus, on the other hand, actually, personally, was responsible for his own accomplishments. And I think that's a very key difference.
And he really did Western Hemisphere to colonization and in modern development.
Well, sure he did.
It would basically be a big wildlife reserve had it not been for Christopher Columbus.
Well, somebody would have gotten here, you know, eventually. But he was the first, and so for that he gets the credit, and credit is due for that.
But if Europeans or people from the East had not, if people from outside of the Western Hemisphere had not come to the Western Hemisphere would, for almost certainly, it would just be stuck in the New Stone Age as it was at that time.
And nobody was steering the ship for Columbus. I mean, he really did all of that. He really did the things that he's given credit for. But I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, with regard to what was going on over here before Europeans and arrived, I mean, they were the America, North America was populated by, you know, what you would say tens of thousands, you know, maybe.
It could be several million, but I mean, it was basically, you know, tribes of hunter gatherers for the most part who were cruelly capturing and enslaving one another when they weren't exterminating one another.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So they were doing to each other what we get accused of having done to them, and we've talked about that at length anytime this issue comes up, really. But I actually, you know, interestingly, this ties in perfectly to a capstone on this salute of Christopher Columbus, and we'll get to it in the very next segment. Second hour, all the current news you want to hear. Third hour, Dr. Abernathy.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we've been busy this week, folks. In addition to giving you our celebration of the legacy of Christopher Columbus, why he is a hero, why he should always be remembered by responsible men of the West, we have also done our part to keep the United States Postal Service financially solvent. Yes, indeed, we went this week and mailed out a great number of gift packages to those who heeded our call and answered the call and rang the bell during our third quarter fundraising drive, which ran, of course, during the month of September. So keep an eye on your mailboxes. I think certainly before our next show, everybody in the United States should have their gift package. Those abroad will take a little bit longer, but they have been shipped, and we look forward to you receiving a very nice thank you letter. And, of course, two of our favorite interviews with Pat Buchanan here on this show. Now, still more have trickled in since the deadline, and, of course, we will honor those as well. We want to thank listeners in Chandler, Arizona, Marietta, Georgia, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, being among those who sent in support in the last week. We did in the, I believe it was the last segment of the third hour of last week's show, we just rattled off a litany of places and ports of call from which we had received support. But listener Keith, another Keith, I tell you what, everybody I know named Keith is a fantastic individual. Keith Alexander, obviously, Keith in Maryland, who always sends in a contribution the very last day of every fundraising drive, and he always sends it in a Hallmark card. It's interesting how you get to know the tendencies of these listeners, even though you've never met them. And Keith, we love you in Maryland. Of course, we got Keith in Canada, who sends a contribution on the very first day of every month. So we've got so many great Keiths. And then, of course, there's Keith 98.6. That's another one. But anyway, Keith from Maryland writes, the work of the political cesspool shines like a light in a storm of anti-European hatred. But the good men of the political cesspool remain steadfast in their commitment to love and protect European peoples. There is a new day coming, and it's folks like you who are providing a beacon of hope. Thanks. Well, as I say, the thanks is due, but it is due you from us, not the other way around.
Well, let me tell you, he hit the nail on the head. We're here because we love European people. What is wrong with loving your own kind?
Love is hate. Hate is love. Good is evil. Evil is good. And that's where we live now.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't ascribe to that new rubric. We believe that European people should be celebrated. We think that all people should have a sense of solidarity with their own race, whatever it is. And we don't think that white people should be a glaring exception to that normal human tendency.
Now, getting back to Columbus, a couple of final thoughts on this. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the second hour coming up is just going to be me and Keith for the full second hour. So stay tuned to every minute. We're going to be talking about a lot of news items that we have picked up on this week that we think needs a treatment of our commentary. And it's going to be it's a wide variety, and I think it's very interesting. It's going to be a chock-full hour in the second hour. But people always talk about the quote-unquote genocide that Europeans put on the Indians. But what was the first act of genocide that took place in that particular unpleasantness? If we remember, Columbus left 39 men behind at Fort Christmas after founding the settlement of La Navidad in Hispaniola, present-day Haiti. The Taino Indians slaughtered all of them to a man. Just about every liberal
made, so they could steal their goods.
Just about every liberal-made TV documentary assumes that the 39 men were mistreating the entire population of the Indians there on that island. But if you were heavily outnumbered and left behind, would you risk antagonizing the native population? We should not join the liberals in immediately assuming it was the Spanish who were the guilty party here. The only crime that we know of for certain is that the earliest encounter with the New World, the earliest act of genocide, was committed by the Indians against the Spanish, and it was mass murder. The natives saw an opportunity to kill all the Spanish and steal their possessions, and that's exactly what they did.
And that's exactly what happened at the Jamestown settlement as well. You know, when they went back to England, they left the Croatan or something, you know, the Roanoke colony. And when they came back, all that was left was Croatan carved into a tree, and none of the white settlers were there.
And they still don't know what happened to them.
They assumed that they were massacred by the Indians again, just as their predecessors in Hispaniola, who were part of Columbus's original cadre of settlers, they've suffered the same fate.
Well, if you read any of the actual journals and logbooks and history books from the actual time, I'm not talking about stuff that was written 500 years later and is in your sociology professor's desk at your community college. I'm talking about the real firsthand accountings. You will know that it was almost always the Indians who were the antagonists in these encounters. And of course, if you defend yourself and learn eventually through great trial that there can
what
be
the
no
reality was
living with these people, then you have to take certain things into account, and you have to take certain measures. But, you know, again, it was only whites. Only whites honored their vanquished foes enough to name their rivers, their lakes, their cities, their states, their sports teams after their conquered former enemies. It was amazing. We talk again about Indians conquering each other for territory before Europeans arrived, and that the latter did only what humans had been doing for millennia all over the world.
See, what Europeans have done, or what European-derived people have done, is make statues and holidays and named locations after their defeated foes. On the other hand, when, for example, in a place like Memphis, when non-whites take over the government, what do? Take down your statues, first and foremost.
They didn't give any white southerners here their own land and their own, and these Indian reservations, by the way, I mean, they're above the law. They have their own laws. They're not even under any authority of the United States government.
And they're given all sorts of money and other goodies by the federal government, supposedly the white man's government, and none of that gets you any dispensation at all from the leftists.
I don't want to chase this rabbit, but you have to reinforce the position by contrasting what white Christians did with what the Indians did when they conquered people. You know, we talk about the mound builders. They were simply exterminated by the Cherokees and the Creeks. The Indians didn't create reservations for conquered peoples where they could survive, maintain their languages and religions and customs and so on. Only white Christians did this, and we know that, but let's not get sidetracked. But that is a fact, and that's an historical fact, and that fact still remains to this day, by the way. But honoring Columbus, that's what we're here to do this first hour. Keith, there is a Columbus Day article written by one of our TPC listeners by the name of Blowtorch Mason, and we run it every year. Final word to you. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left in this first hour. Then we're going to go to current news in the second hour. But remind everybody again why we love Columbus, why we remember Columbus, why we hope Columbus will always be celebrated, why we're doing it tonight, why they should do it. Parting shots on Columbus.
Well, I hope that everybody will check their blog roll on Monday and read the Blowtorch Mason article. I think it's really excellent because it shows that white people, rather than being the scourge of the earth as they are portrayed by the left today, are actually like the swallows that come to Capistrano every year. We're the sign of growth, of springtime, of good times ahead. And if the rest of the world really had their own best interest at heart, they would cultivate and nurture white people like a hothouse flower. They seem to grudgingly give us respect for all of the things that I said, because when you look at where non-white refugees want to come, or immigrants want to come, it's almost invariably to white nations like the United States or to Europe. You don't see them trying to crowd into China or into Saudi Arabia or Dubai or all sorts of other first world nations like Japan and South Korea. They come to places like the United States of America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all of Europe. Why? Because we make the most welcoming and the best and most prosperous nations of all. And that's really what Columbus brought to the New World. He expanded the European part of the world beyond Europe to the great and everlasting benefit of the rest of mankind.
Well, there you have it, Christopher Columbus. We salute you.
And all of the, and all the rest of the world, if they knew what was good with them, would join us in doing that.
Respect, honor to Christopher Columbus and to all of the men. I mean, you know, it is unfair, I guess, that one man get the credit for all of that. I mean, certainly everybody has to have a leader, and he was certainly the leader of that expedition.
Well, someone had to be first, and he was the first one.
And there were others on that boat, too, and they should be remembered just as equally.
But the leader of the expedition was Christopher Columbus. Without him, that the Nina, the Pina, and the Santa Maria would not have set sail.
Yeah, how's that apple tasting?
Pretty good.
Anyway. How was that barbecue we had pre-show?
Also good.
Now, let's tell the folks what we had. We'll just give them a sneak peek here with only seconds remaining. What do we have for that pre? You know, if basketball players, you know, people in a band, they get a pre-show meal in the green room. What do we have?
Barbecue. Memphis barbecue.
I guess that's all we have time to say. So we'll take a break. Christopher Columbus, this hour was for you. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the news that is news you want to hear about. Stay tuned.
Success pool is in the can. But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.